I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand.
Yes, amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. And that's the reason I can welcome you to this program today. If the resurrection were just a myth, there would be no point in producing this program. But Christ is risen, and I'm glad you've joined me today here on the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what was the significance of that event? Well, in just a few moments, I'll bring a message titled, The Results of the Resurrection. But before we look into the Word of God together, let's seek His face in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You with hearts that are full of gratitude. You demonstrated Your love to us so clearly in the sacrifice of Your very own Son. How thankful we are that He didn't remain in the grave. We thank You for that resurrection power that is available to us today. And now, Lord, I ask for the anointing of that resurrection power on Your servant as I open Your Word. May all who hear this program be impacted according to their need. I ask this in the precious name of our risen Lord Jesus. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were on their way to the temple for afternoon prayers. As they're about to enter the temple, they see a lame man lying at the gate, and he calls out to them and asks them to put something in his cup. Peter and John both stop, and they fix their attention on this man. And then Peter speaks. He says, "Look at us." Now I can imagine when Peter said those words that I can see the hope reflected in the face of that beggar. These men are going to give me something. But Peter continued speaking, "Silver and gold have I none." Imagine the beggar's face fell, That little flicker of expectation in his heart was quickly snuffed out. But Peter wasn't finished. He went on speaking. "What I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached out his hand, clasped hold of the hand of that beggar, and lifted him to his feet. Immediately the lame man's feet and ankle bones were made strong, and he began walking and jumping and praising God. I say, of course, here he was expecting just a few coins to provide for his meager existence, and now he's been completely restored from his crippling condition. As he's walking and jumping there in the temple courts, he attracted attention. The people see this man, and they recognize who he is, and they see he's holding on to Peter and John. They're wondering, how is it that he can walk? This is amazing. Well, you can count on Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, not to miss an opportunity to preach. And that's where we pick up the narrative for today's teaching. This account in Acts chapter 3 gives us a clear picture of some of the results of the resurrection of Jesus. Every time we gather on the first day of the week, we remember the event that altered the course of history, world history, and our personal history. So listen carefully as I read Acts 3:11-21. That's Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." In our text, observe with me three results of the resurrection of Jesus, and how those results impact your life and mine today. The first result of the resurrection is restoration is possible. You know, many times in the scripture, God arranges divine appointments to provide for us teachable moments. In this healing of the lame man, we're given a divine object lesson. What happened to this man, including his physical healing, was a clear demonstration of the resurrection power that Peter and John possessed. To the crowd that observed that lame man laying at the temple gate, his condition was hopeless. He was crippled. He was a beggar. And in their minds, that would never change. Restoration was just not possible. But now, they're confronted with the undeniable evidence that this man has been healed. And so their established ways of thinking have just been exploded. And these people are saying, "What's going on here?" How did Peter respond? He said, "Don't look at us as though we're so special. It's not our personal power or our holiness that made this man well. No, it's the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through his Son, Jesus Christ." This is the same Jesus you conspired to put to death even though he was innocent. You denied him in Pilate's court, and you requested a murderer to be released to you. And then he says of Jesus, God has raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of that fact. Now notice with me verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter tells them that the same power that he and John witnessed in the resurrection of Jesus has raised this man to perfect soundness right there in their presence. Through the power of his name and through faith in his name, restoration is possible. That is an incredible reality, my friend, for both you and me. The restoration this man experienced through the power of the resurrection was certainly more than physical, because there's a spiritual dynamic too. It may not be as evident as the physical healing, but it is the more important of the two. In order for this man to be healed physically, there first needed to be a spiritual response, a faith response. So when Peter said, "Rise up and walk," this man could have said, "Oh, I can't do that. If I try to stand, I'll probably fall down and hurt myself even more." People who have been hurt tend to be protective of the hurt. It doesn't matter if that hurt is physical or emotional or spiritual. There's an inborn defense mechanism that comes into play. Think about your responses to hurt in your life. If you have an emotional or spiritual injury, you protect it, and that's natural. But God says, "Let me touch that sore spot. Let me take that wound, clean it out, and begin to bring healing." And that's where faith comes in, because faith says, "Okay, God, I can't see how you're going to do it, but because I trust you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to heal this hurt." That's the point the crippled man had to reach before he could be healed. Without faith, he would have just stayed lying there on the ground. But he acted in faith, and God rewarded him. Verse 16 says he was given perfect soundness. He was completely restored. Now, think of the people you know who are spiritually crippled. Like this beggar, their condition is terminal. They're going through life. They're just getting by. There's no hope, no joy, no peace, no contentment. Life for them is just one continual drag. Like the beggar, they keep looking for things outside themselves for satisfaction, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Peter's message revolutionized the beggar's life, and that same resurrection power is available today to revolutionize the lives of all who exercise faith in Jesus Christ. But too often, we're like the people who knew that beggar. They saw his condition as hopeless, incurable. And we often look at other people who are bound in sin, and we think, "They're hopeless." We may even be tempted to think that about circumstances in our own lives. There's just no hope. It won't change. You know, I believe that's a slap in God's face. He gave heaven's best to save earth's worst. And I assure you, there is no person or situation beyond the restoration power of the resurrection. Not your situation, nor anyone else's. Back in 1979, Rusty Woomer and an accomplice went on a crime spree in South Carolina. As a result of that, several people were murdered, and Rusty was sentenced to death for his crimes. But in 1985, while he was on death row, a Christian businessman led Rusty to Christ, and his life was transformed. And then, very early on the morning of April 27, 1991, Rusty was strapped to the electric chair. Here are his final words. "I'm sorry for what I've done. I claim Jesus Christ as my Savior. My only wish is that everyone in the world could feel the love I have felt from him." Restoration is possible for you too, my friend. If you haven't experienced that power, you can. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. The power of the resurrection is great enough to restore your life and to give you wholeness in Jesus Christ. So the first result of the resurrection is that restoration was made possible. Complete restoration, encompassing spirit, soul, and body. The second result of the resurrection then is repentance is prescribed. Up to this point, Peter's message was focusing on the power of the resurrection in the life of the lame man, but now he turns his attention to his listeners because he wants them to understand that the resurrection power affects them too. And he sets up the requirement or the prescription that will make that power a reality for them. He says in verse 19, "Repent and be converted." Repentance, as you may know, means to turn around, to go the opposite way than what you were going. Peter knew about repentance. Remember how he wept bitter tears after he denied Jesus? Before Pentecost, he depended on his own strength, and he often failed miserably. Even after the resurrection, he followed some of our contemporary wisdom. When the going gets tough, the tough go fishing. But after Pentecost, he went the other direction. He was totally sold out to Jesus. The resurrection power made repentance real. It made it possible. The people Peter was addressing in our text were those who crucified Jesus. They had treated him like a common criminal. They had rejected him as the messenger, and they had rejected his message as well. Peter preached to them repentance, a turning around. He said if they would repent, they would be converted, and their sins would be blotted out, that is, they'd be wiped away. That's why Jesus died, to provide a lasting atonement for sin. The sin of the people in the crowd that day, and for our sin, yours and mine. The true repentance that God required was now possible because of Jesus' resurrection. Peter was inviting his listeners to participate in a reality that would be every bit as liberating to them as that healing touch had been to the lame man. But it would take a dramatic shift in their thinking, in their understanding of what it meant to be the people of God. You see, repentance is not simply the turning over a new leaf, as we sometimes say. This was a whole new way of life, and it was based not on the many rules of behavior that were prescribed by the Pharisees so they could fulfill the law of Moses, but on receiving the dynamic, life-giving power of the resurrected Messiah, Jesus Christ. This result of the resurrection, the prescription of repentance, is still the only cure for the disease of sin, even today. Peter's Spirit-inspired words have as much truth and meaning in them today as they did on that day there in the temple. We are all guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus by our sins, and like those in the crowd that day, we need to repent. If you've never repented of your own personal sin, then you are just as guilty of the death of Jesus as those who were in the crowd that day when Peter was preaching. And if you don't repent, then you will one day face the judgment of Almighty God for the contemptible way you have treated His Son. The Hebrew writer said it this way, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." That's Hebrews 10:28 and 29. Praise God, the repentance God prescribed is made possible in Jesus Christ, but it requires a personal response from you and from me. This is the second result of the resurrection. And for all those who repent of their sin and receive the Lord Jesus as Savior and Master, there's an additional benefit of the resurrection that is yet to come. That final result of the resurrection is restitution is promised. Peter told the crowd that Jesus had risen from the grave and ascended to heaven. He would remain there until the times of restitution or restoration of all things. Peter went on to remind them these things had been spoken by all the prophets. Those listening to Peter's words were looking for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. When Jesus showed no intention of doing that, they rejected him because he didn't fit their concept of a Messiah. They missed the fact that Jesus had come as the Messiah to restore them spiritually and to introduce them to a kingdom that was much greater than what they could imagine. But as Peter said, there's a time coming when God will restore all things to the pattern of his original creation. This is one of the results of the resurrection. The fact that God was able to raise his Son from the dead assures us that we too shall live again. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, refers to Christ as the firstfruits from the dead. His resurrection was the indication of a harvest that would come at the end of the age. In fact, Paul says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we are hopeless. So our entire hope for the future and for eternity hinges on the resurrection of Christ. All of this was in the plan of God from before the foundation of the world, and Peter reminds his hearers that it was proclaimed by all the holy prophets. The miraculous healing of this lame man was just a foretaste of something yet to come. It was a glimpse of the future. It was a demonstration of the resurrection power that was now available to any and all who would receive it. This man exercised faith in the name of Jesus, and he was rewarded by complete restoration. So it is with all who reach out in faith and receive his power today. Now I remind you that during the time Jesus walked this earth, not every cripple was healed, not every leper was cleansed, because Jesus' humanity limited his ministry. He could only be at one place at a time. But every person who put their faith in him for salvation was forgiven of their sins. The same was true for the early church, and it remains true today. But you know, there is a time coming, hallelujah, when God will make all things new, when all sickness and pain and sorrow and all sin will be put away, when righteousness will reign supreme and Jesus Christ will be the Lord of all. A question I have for you today is this: will you be part of that restitution of all things? Where will you be when Jesus Christ reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When he puts down all authority and power and delivers the kingdom over to his Father? Where will you be when God makes a new heaven and a new earth filled with righteousness? You see, if you plan to be a part of these things, there's only one way to make sure you can participate, and that is to experience the results of the resurrection of Jesus in a personal way. Your experience may not be as dramatic like this healing of the lame man, but it can be just as real. The power of the resurrection, which we commemorate every Sunday, is our hope for time and eternity. Let's let the reality of the resurrection fill our hearts with joy and rejoicing. Because of the resurrection, restoration is possible. Repentance is prescribed, and restitution is promised. I pray you have experienced these results in your life.
If ye then with Christ be risen, seek those things above. Let his glory shine around thee, showing forth his love. Once upon the cross he suffered, gave his life a ransom free. Yet the grave could not retain him, and he lives his eternally. If he then be risen with the King of love, look not to the things that perish, seek those things above.
My friend, have you experienced that resurrection power personally? I hope and pray that you have. If not, you can experience it. Like the lame man in our teaching today, your life can be totally transformed. It's been a joy to be with you today and to look at such an exciting theme. If you'd like to review this teaching or share it with a friend, you can get a printed transcript or a digital audio file for them. Or you can just point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to the program when it's convenient for them. To request a copy of this teaching in a print or digital format, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533 and ask for the teaching, Results of the Resurrection. To review today's program or listen to previous programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. And if you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. And your gift will allow us to continue sharing biblical teaching each week with tens of thousands of people who hear our broadcasts in their native language. If you'd like to know more about Heralds of Hope, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where you can learn how we use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetime. Thanks again for joining us today for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll be back next week with a program focusing on the ascension of Jesus. We'll look for you then. And until we meet again, remember this comforting fact.
Since Jesus, my Savior, from sin rescued me, life's pathway shines brighter because I am free.